I am joined in studio by one of our wonderful producers, Sam. Sam Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning, Jess.
How are we?
Yeah, really good.
That's fantastic. Now, I am very excited about this week because we're talking about something pretty iconic, aren't we?
Iconic for sure. This week, I have a massive blast from the past that somehow showed up on SBS On Demand.
Wonderful.
It is without a doubt the weirdest concert film of all time. It is, of course, 1988's Moonwalker by Michael Jackson.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
SBS On Demand, some of the strangest things pop up there.
Yeah, they have a lot of really strange movies. A lot of naughty movies, actually.
There are some pretty intense, like, softcore
porn. If you're watching SBS2, like, overnight, then you might want to close the doors and... Yeah, not
make
tell
sure
anyone.
The kids are to bed. But no, this is not one of those.
Yeah, this is actually a good one.
This is a really good one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to begin. This movie tries to be so many things. I mean, you could call it like a series of extended music videos.
Okay.
Or an hour and a half of Michael Jackson tuning his own horn a little bit. But it also has this very strange comedy vibe to it, so you can't tell if it's trying to be reverent to MJ or ridicule him.
Okay.
It really is a lot to take in.
All right.
But if you start at the beginning, ultimately, it was made to promote the Bad album.
All right.
So the whole thing is split up into short films based on songs like Man in the Mirror and Smooth Criminal as well.
The best Michael Jackson era.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm more of an early disco kind of Michael Jackson guy myself.
Okay. Almost like Jackson 5 style Michael Jackson?
Well, I like Rock With You. That's like my favorite MJ song ever.
So all right.
Off the wall kind of era, I suppose.
Okay.
But I appreciate his Bad image. I think he looks really cool.
Yeah.
Smooth Criminal itself is led up by this epic story, which really fits into his old edgy atmosphere. It's starring Joe Pesci.
Okay.
From Home Alone, as a mobster who wants to get all children in the world addicted to drugs. And also John Lennon's son, Sean, as a homeless child who helps Michael to save the day and
Righto.
Rid the world of this scourge.
Okay.
It's very strange, and there's not a lot of substance, but it is surprisingly thrilling.
Okay.
And for some unexplained reason, there are a lot of spiders.
Really?
Yeah, arachnophobes might want to stay away.
Okay, what a weird motif to put in there.
Yeah, I know. It's I guess they wanted to just stylize it a little bit. I can't blame them.
No, well, it worked.
Yeah.
He was as big as they get, so.
I know, it only helped to cement his status, really.
Yeah.
There's also, that part's towards the end of the film. There's also a bunch of fun stuff as well. There's a whole bunch of crazy stop motion animation and special effects set to all these other songs, like lesser known songs like Speed Demon and Leave Me Alone, I think, which is a B-side from the Bad album that they put in the movies for some reason.
Okay.
And, the special effects are still pretty impressive today in like a stylistic kind of way.
Even though they were from 1988.
Even though they're from 1988.
Okay.
You can tell, I mean, some of the shadows are a bit weird because you got a segment where there's like stop motion animation like in real life as well. Kind of like a Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yeah, but like before Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like the same era.
Okay.
Well, yeah. It might have been the same year. I'm not sure. But yeah, it still looks pretty good. It's made by Colin Chilvers, who's been an amazing special effects guy who won an Oscar for the original Superman.
Wow.
He was the one who put Chris Reeves in front of a green screen and made him fly around.
Oh, wow. I can confirm Who Framed Roger Rabbit also released 1988.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
It must have been a very good aesthetic back then.
It was good. 1988 was a good year.
It was a good year
I feel like it was a good year for film.
For weird movies.
For weird movies.
Yeah. Occasionally in Moonwalker, you'll also see actual concert footage, which is a nice break from all the craziness.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing in itself, though. You could easily mistake it for like a Beatles show. People are crying, they're fainting.
Whoa.
People are being dragged off. It's ridiculous. I mean...
Go MJ.
Yeah, for MJ. And you can't blame him. This is back before social media where you couldn't like tweet at a superstar. There was always like an air of mystique around celebrities.
I guess so, and they weren't posting everything they were doing every minute of the day.
You don't know that they're having a shower or like eating a sandwich.
You just rely on paparazzi photos or the rage on a
especially
Saturday morning.
Yeah, especially Michael Jackson with all that mystery and the iconic
he
the gloves.
He was quite mysterious.
Yeah, for sure. It's just such a fun movie. Watching it now, it's like. It's just such an absurd display of indulgence that you can't help but be swept away. Like there's no reason it actually had to be made, but that's exactly the reason why you should watch it, because You know what I mean? I mean, it is.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's still like you can tell it's made in the 1980s, but it also kind of shows the ambition that made Michael Jackson timeless, in my opinion.
I love that. So there is no storyline. It's not like a movie with a storyline, is it?
No, it's kind of like a celebration
of
him.
Just lots of little bits and pieces.
Yeah,
put
but
together
I mean,
to the songs and.
Yeah, I mean, if this was like a Midnight Oil movie, it wouldn't work. It's because it's set to Michael Jackson.
It's only because it's Michael Jackson.
Only because
that it works.
It's such a great soundtrack. It's enigmatic. It's
it
just
would
you can't
just
help.
It's the best soundtrack to a film ever made.
I know. Yeah.
See, Bad Era Michael Jackson is my favorite. Smooth Criminal is the ultimate Michael Jackson song, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love. That's my favorite Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and I've mentioned there was such a massive like build up to that song in the movie. Like you're just waiting, and when it finally goes ow and it starts, that's like it's so satisfying.
Yes, Michael Jackson. Yes.
Yes. I just start dancing in the living room.
This is such a good one for a Sunday afternoon like this afternoon's going
for sure.
to be. It's warm and it's sunny and you can just contain yourself inside, have a dance, have a sing.
But no one's watching.
No one's watching. No one needs to know.
Or you can just have a few beers with friends and then it solves itself.
Get some friends over. This is the ultimate watch with friends movie. Get the friends over, get a cheeky bev going.
Cheeky bev.
Maybe make a punch up to you and just have a good time.
Yeah.
I love this. And this
it's
fun.
And it's a short watch. It's like an hour and a half. It's nothing. You're not going to start binging and get addicted
movie.
To it.
That is kid movie length.
Yeah, that's kid movie,
when you've
definitely.
Got kid movie length, you've got attention span. So there we go.
Yeah, it's kind of kid-friendly. There's a bit of creepy stop motion, but, you know, that's to be expected.
They can jump around, get some energy out. God knows we all need it. It's school holidays.
Yeah, jeez. It's a good watch for the school holidays,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, educate your children on the classics, but hope they're not scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Now, before we get out of here, excuse me, I've quickly got something to talk about this week. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, Jess.
I'm getting too excited. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting all choked up because I started and finished a new series this week.
In the same week?
Very bingeable.
Oh, man.
Very bingeable. It's on Netflix. And so essentially, I feel like my life, I am, and if we know from especially this segment, looking at what I watch, I'm like a 57-year-old British woman. In my taste of TV.
What?
I love period pieces.
Downton Abbey or something?
Love Downton Abbey.
Oh, man.
Love all that sort of stuff. I'm really, really into that kind of call the midwife Downton Abbey. That whole Outlander genre is just my jam.
I want to judge you, but I won't. I'm not going to.
I appreciate that because I've got a new one. It's by no means new at all. It premiered in 2016, but it's on Netflix now, which is really exciting. It's called Victoria, and it's a dramatic look back at the life of Queen Victoria when she came to power.
Yeah, I think I've heard of this one.
Yeah, so it's like not – I wouldn't call it the most historically accurate thing ever. But from what I read, it's not. Overly, like, I wouldn't look at it as a historic film because it's a drama, it's a television show, you know what it is, but it is so fantastic, in my opinion.
So it gets like that middle ground between historically accurate and like
just great drama,
just drama,
great drama. So, it's all based on when Victoria, Queen of England, comes to power after her uncle dies and how she has to move from quite a recluse life. Her mother kept her quite locked up and recluse, which was quite true. Because she was, you know, trying to protect her into the role of the Queen of England. She was only 18 when she became the Queen of England.
Wow.
And she was little and she was a woman and it's like the 17th century or the 16th century. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's old. It's old times. I obviously didn't watch it for the history. And, it's kind of all about her reign, which is really interesting because she was quite an interesting queen. And I know that she changed a lot during her reign. So when her husband died, she became quite recluse and stopped doing public appearances and all that sort of stuff. But this is when she's young and she meets her husband, who's actually her first cousin. And he's German, so everyone hates him because he's not English.
Wow.
But she's quite German as well. And it's all about – and it's quite interesting then to look into the history of Queen Victoria. And so she and Albert, Prince Albert, had 9 children. And after the Victorian era, she was quite a loved queen. The Victorian era was quite a, she was quite loved as a queen from what I understand. So they had 9 children.
That's insane.
It's a lot of children.
It's a lot of children. How
That's
do you,
a lot of kids.
How do you manage that and being a queen? Holy crap.
And kind of after that, most, and the way that royal families worked, especially back then, most of the seats of power, so most of the monarchs and the monarchies in Europe were sat on, the throne was sat on by a child, grandchild, nephew of Queen Victoria.
Oh, cool.
And it was a thing, and like everyone knew, it was related to everyone, and they were kind of the ties that were put in there, which is really interesting, right? In my opinion, really, really interesting. But beyond that, it's just a great drama piece, and it kind of focuses on that. It definitely portrays that difference that you see in shows like Downton Abbey between like servants and royalty. Upstairs, downstairs mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Has a lot of different characters, a lot of different moving pieces. It's aesthetically beautiful.
I love that.
From what I understand, her uncle, the king who sat on the throne before her, built Buckingham Palace. I could be really wrong, and I'm sorry if I am.
But watch out.
That's from what I understand, and it was to the cost of millions and millions of dollars. But she reigned from Buckingham Palace. She moved into Buckingham Palace when she became queen, and it is just opulent and beautiful.
Wow.
And just gorgeous to look at. And they've got, you know, the largest private gardens in all of England there as well. So they've got these beautiful private gardens that they're going through, and that kind of old era of horse-drawn carriages that are opulent and gorgeous and beautiful, and big, beautiful dresses and crowns and tiaras and jewels and the whole shebang, which just puts me in a fantasy world for most of the show.
Man.
I've only watched the first season, but there is a second season. It's not on Netflix yet. So if you're going to get into it, I'll let you know that now before you get to the last episode like I did and be devastated.
Oh, it was a cliffhanger?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, a little bit of a cliffhanger. It kind of ends. So this isn't giving much away because we know what happened historically. It's not like they're going to leave anything too. Nothing's left too much to the imagination. But it ends when her first child is born.
Oh, cool.
So, and then you've got kind of the beginning, and that's quite toward the beginning of her rule. There's a lot of power struggles there because she's a young woman who a lot of people try and manipulate her, and she's like, no, I'm the queen, and runs around and kind of makes up her own mind, but is still very heavily influenced by other players and parliament and all those sorts of things.
So this show could go on for ages and ages.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she was the like second longest reigning monarch or something.
Oh, goodness.
Because she is Queen Elizabeth's great-great-grandmother.
Nice.
From memory.
Nice remembering.
From memory. And she reigned for years and years. She was a very long reigning monarch.
Yeah, that's insane.
She went on for quite a while, and she became, I think, quite bitter in her old age, from what I know. And then, but there's a season two out there. I'm trying to get my hands on it. Don't really know how I'm going to do that yet.
Yeah.
But like every good British show, they've also started doing Christmas specials, which is my favorite part of watching a British show.
I mean, you can only watch Christmas specials like 10% of the year, which
is
kind of sad.
Which is like that Christmas time, but it's beautiful because you get like you call the midwife special and you can rewatch the Downton Abbey special. You've got the Doctor Who special. Now we've got a Victoria special. It's all happening. I'm very excited. I'm a little too excited.
A bit too excited. Yeah. I agree.
I really want to be a princess though. That was my career ambition from like 3 years old.
That's
princess
that's,
or queen.
I respect that. That's a You got to aim high.
Yeah, when I was about 12, I Googled all the monarchs around the world to try and figure out how I could marry into a royal family. Obviously, I wasn't born into one, so I've got to marry in, but it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got a mister in your life, I suppose.
When Prince Harry came to Australia a few years ago, I was studying at Macquarie University at the time, and he was out at Macquarie University looking at some robotics research that was being done for soldiers. The one time my boyfriend came with me to university. And I'm like, babe, if I see the prince, I'm sorry, I'm single. Like,
oh, man.
I love you. I do. I want to be a princess more.
Yeah, you got to take a chance. You only have one life.
Exactly. Sam, we'll have to leave it there. Two fantastic options for us. Sunday, we've got Victoria that's streaming on Netflix and a Moonwalker
on SBS On Demand.
Michael Jackson. And because it's on SBS On Demand, it's going to expire at some point.
No, it's on there for a while, actually.
For a while?
So SBS On Demand's really good. They usually keep it up there for like a year or so.
Good job, SBS On Demand.
Nicely
I
done.
Want that one. Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Thank you, Jess.